This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.
Please, speak as you might to a young child or a golden retriever.
It's an unfair game.
They're schemers. Schemers trying to control their little worlds.
Rich get richer, that's the law of the land.
It's just money.
Blasphemy! This is madness!
I drink your milkshake!
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Milkshakes, Markets, Madness. This is a show, not a podcast. My name is John Kutzmita. This is Brent Johnson. If you're new with us, the Milkshakes piece, I know it sounds a little unusual, but it's part of the dollar milkshake theory. If you go to our website, milkshakespod.com, we explain it there. Obviously, we're talking about financial markets. That's the second part of our name. And madness, well, it seems to be a lot of madness lately. Brent, we had quite a week after quite a weekend. We did an early in the week episode and we decided that, hey, maybe we have two a week in us, but in order to do that, we're going to try to keep the episodes shorter. Also, we've had some slight audio technical difficulties. Really just comes down to sometimes when you're in these boxy offices, the sound bounces. So before we get kicked off and you say hello, why don't you tap on that mic? There you
hello,
go, everybody.
Hello.
The mic's working. It's just the conditions of the environment, and we'll continue to improve that. So back to what I was saying, Brent, wild weekend, wild week. We jumped in early during this week to kind of recap some of that, and we feel like we can probably start doing these twice a week shows. Now, at the end of the week, it got even more interesting with a Credit Suisse bailout. Do you want to talk about that? Because that was something back in early February we had highlighted and you had drawn some attention to.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, I think what I would highlight is, the banking issues that we've seen in the United States are not a U.S. only, or it's not a unique to the United States phenomenon. This is going to happen all over the world. It's definitely going to happen in Europe, and it's already happening with Credit Suisse. You know, for a long time, of course, whenever the bank comes out and says we're not under any pressure, that's a pretty good sign that they're under a lot of pressure. So much so that the Swiss National Bank came out and said they were going to give them like $54 billion earlier this week. That didn't seem to help too much. Stock price was down again today. And now, earlier today, there was a rumor that UBS was interested in joining with them. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, this is what's going to happen, that UBS and Credit Suisse are going to end up merging. They'll call it United Bank of Switzerland rather than Union Bank of Switzerland. But they denied the rumor earlier today, but now later in the day, that looks like another possible scenario here. So, I expect this to continue. And, I think in many ways what the Fed did, and then what, not just what the Fed did, but what Janet Yellen said, it actually encourages these bank runs as opposed to, help the situation. So, it's just more madness in our financial markets.
Yeah. And for anyone who didn't catch that testimony, Janet Yellen was pressured by a senator from Oklahoma if the type of bailouts that they provided Silicon Valley Bank, where all the depositors were made whole, if that was something that the small regional banks could expect. And she blatantly said no, and that it was more or less a insider decision between the FDIC, the Treasury, et cetera. So, I don't know if she is naive to what type of message that sends, or if they've all passed the Rubicon of being so sociopathic about how they manage the banking system that they're just like, screw it, we're going to stomp on you and we don't care if you know. Do you have any thoughts specifically about that testimony that, kind of reinforced your point, but also maybe gave you some shivers down your spine?
Absolutely. And here's the problem is these ideas that the Fed and the Treasury and these people that come up with these politicians that come up with these bills, is everything works great on a spreadsheet and it works great in an ivory tower. It doesn't work that way in the real world, and they don't necessarily have the real world experience to understand that there are going to be knock-on effects and unintended consequences of it. So as an example, you know, for them to make the decision to bail out completely all of the depositors of these, you know, larger banks and corporate banks and, you know, banks that service kind of the 1%, and then to say publicly that they might not do that for a small regional Oklahoma bank, and it would be up to a decision amongst, you know, people like her to make that determination. That just encourages the depositors of these smaller institutions. Why would you stay in these smaller institutional banks? It encourages the bank run as opposed to tries to stop it, right? You know, if you are, think about it. And not only that, they've also, Biden has come out and said, we need to look at, you know, the executives of Silicon Valley Bank and what they were up to, and they need to be held accountable. Okay. So now let's apply that to all the small and regional banks. Let's say that not only the executives of the small and regional banks, you know, but the small pension funds, the small endowments, a company that does business with a small regional bank. And if you work for the, if you are in a position of fiduciary trust and you work with a small community bank, do you keep your money there or do you move it to a global significant bank that will get bailed out? Because that's your fiduciary duty. So if you're aware of these issues and you leave your money in a small community bank, are you in dereliction of your fiduciary duty? And in many ways, you could say that you are. So you almost have to move your money now to a bigger bank or face scrutiny for not doing so. And it's just another one of these things where, again, it works great in the ivory tower, but in the real world, there's unintended consequences. And you saw that today. You know, these big bailouts were announced yesterday. You know, and a lot of what was going around yesterday was the we're back to QE because the Fed balance sheet increased like $300 billion this last week. And so now we're back to QE. And my point was, listen, we don't know what's going on yet. None of this stuff is totally defined. And so, you know, and then markets were down big today because these bank bailouts aren't necessarily working the way they wanted. First Republic was down big because deposits are still leaving. Credit Suisse was down again. A number of other banks were down again. And it's just all madness. And before I forget, I have to highlight the fact that yesterday, the big announcement yesterday was that all these major banks, credit, or, you know, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, came to the aid of First Republic and were going to deposit $30 billion into First Republic to make them whole. Well, you know where they got that $30 billion? They got that $30 billion from depositors who took it out of First Republic and put it into their bank because they didn't want it to be at First Republic. So these banks are basically, quote unquote, bailing out First Republic with First Republic's money. That's how circular and messed up this whole system is. Now, if you don't think that's madness, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and I think this is an environment where people start to pay attention to their money again and ask the questions they should have been asking a long time ago, and all over again, get to understand what really goes on in the world of banking. And when you're giving a bank your deposits, you're giving them to a certain extent within regulation. And obviously, like we're talking about here, they can rewrite regulation on the fly, but you're giving them that money to do what they please. So if you're pulling money out of First Republic out of fears because of the health of that bank and then handing it to a bigger bank and then they're turning around and reinvesting it, you have no real say per se in that moment. Now, I get it. There's a deeper balance sheet with these banks, so a couple billion across the board. But it's still the principle of it that this is, you know, one big circular nightmare. And eventually it all comes back, I think, to the regulators and the Fed. And with Janet Yellen's testimony, you know, I'm going to bring something that we had discussed last week, which was the fact that there's some conspiracy elements to all of this, but also you had pointed out that they're not stupid, they're arrogant. So when Janet Yellen says a comment like this, is it, you know, that she's so lost on the ivory tower, or is it a bit of like, this is our intention, and at least, you know, when push comes to shove, we told you so? I mean, is this an attempt to destroy the small regional bank?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I don't know that I would say that's the master plan, but I think they're aware of it, and I think they're okay with it, right? I think that's ultimately, they know that's where it's going, and you know, this is just part of the play. I think with her getting caught in the deer in the headlights, I do not think that Janet Yellen is a stupid person. I think she's a smart person. I think she was very surprised that she got called out on the floor of the U.S. Senate. You know, I think that's what she was not prepared for. And she should have been, and she should have been prepared for that, but she wasn't. And, you know, it's kind of like when they say the quiet part out loud, right? She kind of got put on blast and just really did not know how to handle it. And she said the truth, which I suppose that's the good thing. You know, it's better for her to tell the truth than to lie. But in this case, the truth is scarier than the lie, right? Because this is what they're doing. They are going to pick favorites, and they have to pick favorites because there's not enough money to do it for everybody. But if they do print enough money for everybody, then that's when all bets are off.
And that's why we're here with the Dollar Milkshake Theory and the Milkshakes Madness Show. Now, Brent, before we wrap up, like I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to try to do these twice a week and therefore keep them a little shorter. Let's highlight a little bit more about what they did and why this isn't QE. Because, you know, you said Janet got caught off guard, but you would think the only question anyone would ask is this going to be available for everybody? So do you want to share a little bit more on why you think this is QE or not QE?
Yeah, I guess I would say that all Fed liquidity is not created equal. So that's all very similar, but it's not created equal. And it doesn't mean you can ignore it. But like I said yesterday, there was this chart that I don't know how many different people sent it to me. And I talked to another good friend of mine today, and he's like, hey, by the way, if you didn't get this chart, about 80 people sent it to me yesterday. And I said, I bet it's this chart. And we both started laughing. So basically, it shows that quantitative tightening is over, and now the Fed balance sheet is rising again. Okay, yes. And is liquidity being provided? Absolutely, yes, liquidity is being provided. Is it the exact same as QE? No, it's not the exact same as QE. So what the $300 billion was people using this new BTFP program, drawing on that liquidity, and then also using the Fed discount window. Now, both of those are different than QE. In QE, the Fed does a swap with the bank. They give the bank reserves, they take the bonds, it's over, it's done. In these other two programs that led to the $300 billion increase, these are loans. And these are not free loans. These are loans that actually have relatively high interest costs. They're one-year loans and they cost over 4%. By the end of next week, they may be closer to 5%. And they have a maturity of a year or less. So it's not the same thing. Now, could these loans get forgiven? I suppose they could be. Could the terms change? Yeah, of course they can change. But as of right now, it's not QE. And I, you know, yesterday at the end of the day, when I got this chart, I started seeing the emails going around, the tweets going around as we're back to QE. You know, I said, just be careful. You know, it's not necessarily QE yet. I'm not saying that a QE can't come and won't come, but as of right now, it's not. And sure enough today, you know, all the markets were down pretty significantly. Gold was up very big today. And a definite risk off, you know, treasuries are up again. So, you know, if we were back to QE and it was all guns blazing, I don't think that's the type of move we would have seen in the markets today.
Yeah. So I'm no expert in the deepest inner workings of some of this, but I might push back a little bit to get your thoughts. It feels like BTFP is almost like PPP for the banks in the event that potentially it is forgiven. And that could be very, very inflationary because one would argue that QE wasn't really the inflationary component. It was the fiscal and the PPP loans being forgiven and the stimmies and all of that. So in that type of situation, it could get very, very interesting, as you kind of just said. But also going back to what feels almost like shadow QE in that they gave the Fed these assets that were undervalued. They were given liquidity or a loan at par. But now the bank can, just the way that they potentially would with QE and having that excess reserve, go out there and lend. Now, initially, it feels more just like a flex to say, hey, we have liquidity and we can backstop our deposits. But ultimately, if this thing blows over, not saying that it will, the next move for banks would be to go out and make profits on that by doing loans. At that time, would you consider that more like a QE light or a shadow QE?
Well, if they got forgiven, then it's certainly like QE. No question. Then I think you have to consider it QE. I just want to make the point that it's not they're not just giving it to them. Now, could they at some point? They absolutely could. Again, it's the madness, right? But as of right now, it's not. And it definitely provides liquidity. I mean, that's the whole reason they're doing it, right? They wouldn't do it if it wasn't providing liquidity. That's what the Fed's job is to step in and provide liquidity in times of crisis. But, you know, the one thing I would say is there's definitely a hole. Now, how big is the hole? We don't know yet. We know the Fed is trying to fill it. Now, have they already? Here's the other thing. Even if it is QE, if the hole is, I don't know, a trillion and the Fed throws $300 billion in, that's not inflationary, right? You've got to throw more into the hole than so that it fills the hole and that it overflows. And so I don't think we know how big the hole yet is. I would guess it's a little bit bigger than $300 billion. We don't know how much the Fed's going to throw in yet. So far, they've thrown in 300, and it's not totally, you know, without strings. It's, you know, it's loans. But my point is, again, don't react immediately to the headline. You got to dig a little deeper. You got to peel the onion a little more. And I'm not saying these things can't happen. I'm just saying we're not there yet.
So I'm going to insert the scene from the movie 300 when he says this is Sparta and he kicks the guy into the hole. And I'm not going to make this effort, but I want to see somebody potentially from our community create a GIF or just a meme of Janet Yellen's face on the Spartan King kicking the guy into the hole. And somehow that the ones going into the hole are the small community banks. So I would love to see that meme. If you guys are watching this and are up for it, instead of sending charts to Brent about a $300 billion uptick in the Fed balance sheet, send us memes. We want Janet Yellen crushing the small bank memes. So look, on that note, I think we'll wrap up a good little chat to cap off the week. It was a wild weekend last week. It got a little wilder this week, and I'm pretty sure things are not going to be calm on Monday. So we'll see what happens, and we will be back early in the week for another episode. Brent, thanks for hopping on. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man. We'll talk to you next week. And by the way, I know that we're forgetting about March Madness. We haven't forgot about it. We're going to cover it next week, so make sure you turn in.
Hey, before we pop off, tap your mic one more time.
We're aware of the issue. We're working on it.
We got it. All right, guys, find us on milkshakespod.com or at milkshakespod if you're on Twitter or YouTube. And we can't wait to have you with us next week. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Hey.